Conference record has joined the conference.
Okay, I heard a few beeps while the pause was there. So thank you, everybody, for taking time out of your evening tonight to join us for a important topical call on some of the agencies that are out there that we would like families and providers to know about. So tonight we're talking about the Interagency Program for Assistive Technology, and we're grateful that Jeannie Krull has joined us for the call. And Jeannie said that she is open to questions during her presentation, so feel free to jump in and ask any questions that you might have. So Jeannie, with that, take it away, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Janine. Hi there, everyone. Presentation, I may have more slides than we have time for, but I do want to have time for questions. I think it's sometimes more important to get a question answered than to necessarily get through everything. And then I also know that I'm available by phone or email afterwards to answer any of your questions, too, if you don't feel comfortable during this session. I'm definitely open to that, and that's what we're here for. And even if you'd like to come see us in our center here, too, or if you're in the Bismarck area, to go to the Bismarck Center. I have been working with people with disabilities for over 20 years, and I started out as a speech-language pathologist. I'm still a speech pathologist. I did private practice specializing in augmentative and alternative communication for about 10 years, and then I've been with IPAT since 2000. And today we're going to talk about what IPAT services are available, and then we're going to do a little bit on different areas of assistive technology. And I'm going to be saying AT most of the night, so that's just a little acronym there. Okay. And you guys all have the slides, right?
Yep, I sent them all the slides and the handouts that you have.
Well, I'm going to be referring to them quite a bit, and there's a lot of pictures on the slides, so you'll want to follow along. And I'm on the first set of slides, which is called IPAT Topical Call 1. And just let us know if you didn't get that, and maybe Janine can even send it to you while we're speaking here, or I could. IPAT's been around since 1993, and every state has, and the six territories all have AT programs, and we're North Dakota's. And we are currently a nonprofit organization. We receive our funding from federal government and the state. And we are under the Assistive Technology Act of 1998 and as amended in 2004. Our mission is to deliver services so people with disabilities can get the assistive technology they need for work, school, and home. And we work with people of all ages, people with disabilities, people who are suffering, are experiencing the effects of aging, and all over the state of North Dakota. Now I'm on to what do we do? Every state AT program has to do certain things, and if you go to the slide that's IPAT activities, we do have to do state financing, device reutilization, device loan, demonstration, training and technical assistance, public awareness, and coordination and collaboration, and I'm going to go into those each with a little detail. Our first one is state financing activity, and that's our newest one that we started less than a year ago, and that's Pedaling for Possibilities, and it's a fundraiser that we started in February. We had the very first the stationary bike race in February, I think it was towards the end of February, and raised quite a few dollars, and we already gave away part of it in July, and then the second deadline was today, actually, to give away some more, and the next fundraiser is February 11, 2012, it's hard to remember, and we are going to be doing that. We are looking for bike teams right now, so if any of you guys want to be on a bike team, we're recruiting right now, and there are, you know, people who would like to be sponsors. There's sponsorship packages starting at $25 and going all the way up to whatever, sky's the limit. And the way it works is that there's teams of 10, and everybody on the team is encouraged to go out and raise $100 or more. And so then you have each team bringing in $1,000, you know, potentially. And and then they all come in, they bring their money in that day. It's not like a, you know, a penny per mile or something like that. And then we race, each rider races for 25 minutes, and on that whole afternoon from 1 to 6, and then it's over, and the money is able to be turned around and given away after that. And as we raise more funds in throughout the years, we're hoping that there won't be these deadlines that you know, you can just call and, you know, do you qualify? Yes. Do you need it? Yes. Do we have the money? Yep, here you go. And so that's what we're looking forward to, having that that availability for everyone. And what it doesn't do is the qualifications are 150% above median income, so that's quite high. And the only time it wouldn't pay is if it's not assistive technology, or we don't have the funds available, or if it's funded, supposed to be funded by someone else, like the school or voc rehab or insurance. And so we're here to fill those gaps.
Jeannie, can you give an example of what 150% above income is?
Sure. You know what? I have a headset on. I'm just going to walk and get our brochure. So I'm just running through our center right now. It's just really odd to be training and doing this at the same time. 150%. Okay, let's say you are a family of five. You can make up to $127,196. And so I'd say that's quite a bit of money.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are definitely not poverty level eligibility criteria, that's for sure. It's 150% of median income, not, you know, poverty. So our next item is device utilization, and we do a few different things. We have a swap and shop, and that's an online equipment bulletin board, and where people can list their items for free on our website. People from North Dakota can list, and anybody in the world can come and view that. Then we've actually had people get items here all the way from across the United States, and I don't have off the top of my head how they actually got it to either side of the United States, but they got it. They actually found it and purchased it. And that's a free service. And if you don't have access to the internet, our secretaries or myself can look up the items. You know, you can call and say, are there any power wheelchairs listed? And then we can check that out for you and mail you in a printed list of what's available, and then you can contact the seller. So that's how that works. We also frequently, you know, we have our loan library, which I'm going to go into next. And when we have items that are no longer made, and or older computers, things like that, we put them out on long-term loan, where a person can just have them for as long as they need them. And that's also part of our device reutilization. Okay. And speaking of the equipment loan library, a lot of the equipment that kids need does cost a lot of money, and you want to try it before you buy it. And so we have a short-term equipment loan library, and it's available to all state residents, and our fees range from $15 to $45. And I realize that most of you are parents, and schools have paid for rentals in the past, and also our evaluations, too. So that's certainly a way, if you can't afford it, to pay for it. If it's something that wouldn't normally be paid for by the school, we also, and you can't afford to rent, we do have a sliding fee scale, and you know, depending on your income. And that loan library is housed here in Fargo. And there's a picture of our loan library. And then we also have device demonstration centers where you can come in and have a free demonstration of all different types of assistive technology. And we have a center in Bismarck and a center in Fargo, and they very much look the same. With the, and have similar. We have more augmentative communication devices here, but they can certainly be shipped to Bismarck if you need them there. And I'm the only speech pathologist on staff, and that's why most of them are housed here. And also many of them are we only have one of, and so they stay where the loan library is. And there's just some pictures of the Bismarck Center and the Fargo Center. Those are actually pictures of our open house. We just moved to a new location in South Fargo on 32nd Avenue last summer of 2010, and that's just some pictures of our open house. And there's me at the top, if some of you don't know who I am, holding a, looks like an iPad, with a nice audience there. Other things we do to get assistive technology out to the public, we do a lot of training all over the state. From we go and train, do in-services in hospitals and nursing homes and events like I'm doing right now. We provide technical assistance on many different boards and work groups and things like that. And we do that nationally and in within our state. I just got on a national equipment work group, actually, and it's a purchasing one, and actually the definition hasn't been defined yet, but it's just something that one of the things that we do. I know Peggy's on the some different housing and assistive technology one. Scott's on a transition one. So we do a lot of different things besides being in our centers. We also do a lot of different public awareness things. And one of those, too, is just being available by phone or email. It's like, okay, my child is able to do this, this, and this, and I'd really like him to be able to do this. Do you have anything that would help him do that? And that's, you know, maybe we can figure it out in a phone call. Maybe that would lead to a demonstration and then maybe a loan. Maybe that's still not enough, and we need to call the school and get an okay, and then they'll pay for a full evaluation, and we really go through everything that your child is having difficulty with, and we find the AT and match the AT and start a series of rentals, and it can be as long or short as it needs to be or you want it to be. We publish a bi-monthly newsletter, and if you'd like to get on that, it's free, and if you'd like to get on that either electronically or with the paper version, you can give me an email or a phone call, and I'll get you on the list. We have a website where we have lots of information on assistive technology and a Facebook page. And so you can get on that and like us. And we also do a lot of different just informational talks like this all over the state, like I said earlier. Okay. We also have a consumer advisory committee composed of agency people from different agencies as well as consumers. And every once in a while we're looking for new members. And if you're ever interested in being on our advisory committee, just give me a call or one of our other coordinators. I think I've kind of covered all that. We will not be doing the expo again next year, but we have our centers, and we'll be having different vendors coming to our centers and inviting the public to those events. And also, if you know of any other types of conferences and things like that we haven't been in, we just let us know about them. And I know that there's a conference in April, actually the same week as the expo, and we'll be at that as well, and I believe that I think you guys are involved in that, right, Janine?
On which?
the conference that is being put together with Ann Carlson and the Fargo schools are involved in it. And I can straight in. I know Tammy Desitel was involved in that too, and I don't remember the name of it now. But Pathfinders was on it too. But,
oh, yeah, we are. And Brenda's working on it as well, I think.
Oh, okay, yes, yes. And I believe we'll probably be exhibiting there as well. At least I let let somebody know about that. So we'll hopefully be exhibiting there. And we'll bring lots of equipment. Okay. Going on, we, as I talked before, we do different types of evaluations. And it's hard sometimes to get to Fargo or Bismarck, and it's hard for us to get out sometimes because of weather and just time. So we have had, since 2003, video conferencing built into each of our centers, and we're connected with most of the hospitals and nursing homes, and a lot of times, and that's me right there connected on with the Bismarck office, and I'm helping a speech pathologist learn about all the different outcome devices before she requests one to be sent there for a rental. And sometimes, especially with the higher cost items, it's hard to know what you really want when you don't really know anything about them. And shipping is expensive, and so it's, we can certainly do that. It's free, and we can video conference, and I can just talk to you over the phone. We can Skype. Doesn't have to be a formal video conference with the Polycom and everything. It's just different ways to get more information. We contract with the state of North Dakota with Aging Services for the telephone program. We've been doing that for 9 years now. And anybody over the age of 5 and who meets the income limits, and which are actually very close to the income limits for our Peddling for Possibilities program, so they're quite high. And anyone who can't use a standardized telephone because of hearing loss, speech impairment, physical disability, vision loss, is able to get a specialized telephone. And these could be captioning phones, voice-activated phones, just really big button phones, amplified telephones. There's some buttons that for people with visual impairments that actually speak the numbers back to you. And there are phones that are hands-free, and just a lot of different ones. So the applications are available online, or you can give us a call and we'll send you one or even email you one.
Jeannie, this is Denine. One question on the when I worked at Freedom Resource Center long ago, we had that program at that time.
Sure.
Do they still have like light switches as well, so that when the phone rings that the lamp can flash too, or
Yes. We still offer that, and also if the phones now have really loud ringers built into them, so that we don't get this request very often, but sometimes people can get an additional loud ringer that they can put in another part of their house, so that's another thing they can get too. So that helps.
Years ago, I mean, we have one of the phones for our son that we've had it for years. And the darn thing is that's been the best phone ever.
Yeah, it's really nice to have this program in North Dakota, and we all pay for it as North Dakotans. I'm actually a Minnesotan, but we have the same exact program over there, and we all pay, like, I don't know, 90 cents a month on our phone bills. And it's not just our landlines, but also our cell phones, I believe. At least in Minnesota we do. And all that money goes towards these phones, and it also goes towards the relay service. And the relay service, for those of you who don't know, when someone is deaf or cannot speak, there is kind of like an interpreter that you have special telephones like a TTY, and it's a text telephone where somebody who's deaf can type, and to an operator who can then translate that to someone who can hear. And then the person who can hear speaks to the relay operator, and that relay operator types back to the person who's deaf, and they read it on a screen. And those that this money also pays for that relay operator as well, and then our services too. So it's quite the nice, it's very nice service that we have.
Yeah, it's great. And especially, I'm just thinking about our aging population. I know when we installed a lot for many of the elderly folks that couldn't hear on the regular phones anymore. So it's a great program.
Oh, it is. And just in the last, you can see there that phone that's right at the top there, and it actually looks a little different. That's an older version of it. It's called a CapTel phone, and that's something that was just developed in the last 2-3 years. And in the past, we had captioning phones, but you couldn't hear at the same time you could read the captions. And there's some people that can still hear somewhat. They just can't exactly catch all the words. And this phone blends both, so you're able to hear at least even just the vocal inflections. And if you ever read an email and misunderstood it, and just being able to hear the vocal inflections with the text really makes a big difference and for people. And so we're just really excited about that. And I threw this in here. I know that you guys are all parents, but you also probably have parents that are aging and or grandparents that are aging, and we have a senior safety program, and we also work with our other services with people who are aging. And this program is right now being underutilized, and anybody over the age of 60, they're a North Dakota resident, not living in a nursing facility. They really need to be on some type of assistance, but they can get up to $300 worth of safety equipment for in-home use. And you can give me a call if you have questions on that, and I can explain that further. And there's still money left before the end of the year, and we'd like to make sure that gets spent. So if you know of anybody who needs anything, just send them our way. And that, by the way, is also another state program. Through aging services. That is just another contract that we run. We need to go to topic call 2. And after, actually, that's just kind of a good break time. Is there any questions at all on our services?
Wow, quiet bunch this evening.
I'm sorry, what?
I said it's a quiet bunch this evening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Until you talked the first time, I thought I got cut off, actually. This is new for me to not hear even breathing. So, well, let's go to part 2. And let's go to what is AT? A lot of you maybe are new to this. Your kids are maybe young, and you're just not quite really understanding what assistive technology is. And well, that definition and things that are considered AT are ever changing, as just as every time you turn around, there's a new iPad, iPod, Nook, different looking computer, and that's kind of the way assistive technology is maybe not changing quite as fast, but it's the definition there is it's I'll just read it any type. Any item, piece of equipment, or product system, whether acquired commercially, modified, or customized, that is used to increase, maintain, or improve functional capabilities of individuals with disabilities. That's quite it's a federal definition, and really anything that can help you do what you need to do better if you have a disability is assistive technology. I mean, from glasses to hearing aids to a walker. And it may be something, when they say off the shelf, it could be something that to people who don't have a disability is more of a convenience. It can be a piece of assistive technology for someone with a disability or someone who is experiencing the effects of aging. An iPad isn't a perfect example. I mean, everybody wants an iPad, but to somebody with a disability, it could be their whole lifeline. That's kind of, I think, the point of that definition there. And the service is kind of what we do. It could be what a speech pathologist does or an occupational therapist. who's working with to get the AT either diagnosed or implemented for a person. AT, go ahead.
Your definition of assistive technology when you're in the schools, do you do any training with them? Because it seems like they interpret assistive technology different and they're only looking at augmentative communication devices.
We certainly can do training. I mean, I guess teachers come to our trainings. Are they all trained? I don't know. I guess that will be a question for your teachers.
What would you suggest if a parent is having problems with that assistive technology definition in the school compared to what your federal definition is? Do you know of any, IDA, how it states it differently? Or
I don't have that off the top of my head, but if this is give me a call afterwards, and we can certainly discuss it, and maybe I can get some information to you that would help you.
Okay.
Are you open to that?
Sure.
Yeah, and I certainly think, augmented communication certainly isn't everything, and that's what I started out as, and boy, coming here, I thought I knew quite a bit, but yeah, that's just one little piece of AT.
Now, on the IEPs, it asks that question, does your child need assistive technology services?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like if you don't need an augmentative communication device, some of those are not being, other things are not being utilized as assistive technology. I mean, like pencil grips and stuff for children with low tone or...
The definition is very similar to this for IDA. IDEA, and I just don't have it in front of me to compare it, but I can certainly get that for you. And that we actually have archived on our website a document put out by DPI, actually, I think, 12, 13 years ago, that has a definition. And I know some things have changed since it's been amended and things like that, but I don't think the definition has changed much. But again, I just can't give you that over at this time, but just give me a call or email me. I do have some time available tomorrow. So, and why do we focus on it? AT basically helps people live independently, enjoy self-determination, helps them, read and write and get jobs and do as much as they can do with what they've been given. And I so much appreciate this job and the fact that there's AT out there and then people are still, working on it and, people who need it or people with disabilities, anyone. And it's not necessarily somebody who has this defined disability either. And maybe that's in schools, those are the people that are catered to as far as getting in an IEP or something like that. But other kids who don't have a defined disability who aren't on an IEP sometimes can need some things too, and they may not. The school may not be responsible to provide that. But hey, we're parents. We can do find these types of technologies for our kids, just anybody who has difficulty performing everyday tasks, they want to stay in their own home, not in a nursing home or a more restrictive environment. They want to continue work. They want to work. Those are the people that we work with. And we've had people come in here who simply have carpal tunnel and they need a different type of keyboard. And then all the way to someone who has been paralyzed from the neck down and is controlling their entire environment by voice. So we see people of all ages and areas and needs. There really are kind of four main groups of people that we see, and people who have sustained an injury, people who are impacted by disease, both sudden and chronic, they're losing their vision, losing their hearing, losing their ability to use their hands, things like that. aging, and then people who are born with a disability. I always like to go through AT myths that are out there. AT is a magic cure-all for people with disabilities, and it's not. If it's not the right tool, it's not going to work. It's complicated or expensive. It doesn't have to be. It could be as simple as what the last person who was on the call said, that it could just be as simple as a pencil grip. People always want the latest and most expensive devices, and we certainly haven't found that to be true. They want something that works and helps them improve their lives, and those are the majority of people that we see. One person has all the answers. One website has all the answers, and that's just not true. If somebody tells you they know everything about AT, don't listen to them, because it's almost impossible to know everything about AT. It is changing so much every day, and there's so many areas and specialities in it, and it's just very difficult to, it would be impossible to know it all. The only people with certain types of disabilities find AT useful, not true. If a technology solution is available, it will be used. I know this one, I've had a lot of people that I've worked with, it's like, if we give them an augmented communication device, they're going to use it, and their life is going to be great. And I've worked with some people who have an acquired disability, some adults, and you know what? They want nothing to do with it, and they never will. And it doesn't matter that it's available. It's just not what they want in their lives at this time. They're happy with their pencil and their paper, and that is their AT. And that is perfectly okay. And product descriptions are always accurate. Definitely not, and that we see in all day lives in everything that we see as a consumer. And AT is a luxury. And I think that one's put in there back in until 2001, and the Medicare used to call augmentative communication a convenience item. And I think that's where that one came from, and they've been paying for it since 2001, but it was not paid for up until then because it was considered a convenience item. As a speech pathologist, that was a tough one to take. And are there any questions after that? Then the next thing I'm going to do is go into briefly just some different areas of communication. We're not going to get into these in depth because I really want to leave some time for communication, for questions afterwards. And so are there any questions at this point? Pardon? Okay, maybe you were just saying no, there aren't any. You cut out. The first area are speech communication devices. There are communication devices that are non-computerized, that don't have a computer screen, where you use paper overlays. These are some examples here, and these might be where a person ends up. These might be a place where you start and you move on to a computerized display. And maybe a child isn't ready for a communication device with a glass display because they are mobile and maybe they like to throw things, and so that maybe a device like this is much better. With a paper display and plastic case. And the next one here, these are some examples of the Dynavox and the LightWriter of more higher-level communication devices as far as computer systems. However, devices like the Dynavox can also be used with somebody who's at a very basic level. But the Maestro can also be a computer for someone. It can control their environment, their TV and their lights and their, they get on the internet with it. And it's a very complex device, but yet it still could be used by a child with very basic needs who maybe only needs four buttons per page for a communication device, and yet it can be also used by an adult with who's at a normal or above normal cognitive level. And there's an example below of a communication device that can be used with eye control. I mean, I'm sure majority of you have heard about iPod touches and iPads in the last couple of years. Just some examples going into the next slides of some different programs and that go with iPads and iPods. And like I said, I'm not really going to go into them. I just want you, I think it's just more to be aware of all the different areas that are available for that are considered assistive technology. And we certainly could do training later on if we want to do like a training on augmentative communication, for example, or just a training on things for vision or things for hearing, and we can go in more depth on different devices, or you can stop by and I can tell you about them in a demonstration. The next area is vision. This particular device here is a KNFB reader, and it actually takes pictures. It's actually a cell phone, a smartphone with software in it that takes pictures of text and reads it back to you. Now, this is an older device, and actually the iPhones are becoming so sophisticated now that they, with their better cameras in them, especially the new, the 4S that just came out, that probably barely anybody has right now, but it has a camera built into it with an app that you can actually take a picture of text and have it read to you right there with your phone, and it doesn't cost the $1,500. So if you already have an iPhone, the app is only $20. So it's pretty sweet. Now, I didn't work with the older iPods and iPads because the cameras were not good enough, and the app was fine. It was just the cameras weren't good. And now with this newer camera, I think I don't have an iPhone, so I can't try it, but I've heard it works much better. And here's an example of someone using a CCTV or a video magnifier in school to see the chalkboard better. And this little device is called the SenseView Duo, and that device is a handheld magnifier that somebody could use right at their desk or at their table, but it can also plug into a TV so they can see it even bigger and have it magnified. And there's talking clocks and big magnifiers. PenFriend will allow you to put little recording dots on different devices, and then when the pen touches the little dot on it, it'll tell you what that device is. There's also not listed on here UPC code readers, and so that you don't have to go in and put dots on everything in your whole kitchen and closet. It just has a database actually in it of all the different types of consumer products that we have that have UPC codes on them, and majority of things are already in this database, so you just scan it and it tells you what it is. And if you imagine if you're somebody who's blind and you have 10 cans in your cupboard, they all feel the same unless they're different shapes. And you have no idea if you have a can of peas or a can of peaches. So this type of thing can really help someone live very much independently. AT for hearing. This example, I know Deneen was talking about some devices flashing the lights when your phone rang. This device does that, this one, the Alert Master. It also will flash the lights and shake your bed. So we do provide those too, by the way, Deneen, with the phone program. We can get someone a bed shaker to shake them awake as well to go with their phone. But if they this device isn't available through that program, but this is just another one that not only works with the phone, but it works with it has an alarm clock, it has a motion sensor, it turns on your light and shakes the door, or shakes the bed when your doorbell goes off, when the you can set with the fire alarm, and it's just really nice. The one to the right of it is it's a weather alert, so for tornadoes and other disasters and things like that. That would help somebody live by themselves and still be able to hear the sirens.
What does that cost, Jeannie?
Oh, you know what? I see that. I didn't put that in there. That one's rather expensive. For that whole setup, I'm thinking it's around $400.
Okay.
Okay, and that's something, you know, that's really not paid by a lot of other things, and that's something that could be certainly paid for by Peddling for Possibilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the circumstances, you know. If it's not covered by voc rehab or some other things, and person qualifies and needs it, it's a possibility. Different types of hearing devices. This, we talked about the regular telephones, you know, with bed shakers. This one is for a cell phone. You actually, most people are switching to cell phones and getting rid of their landlines now, and they've developed this little device here called the Ringmaster that you actually at night turn your phone on vibrate and strap it. There's actually a strap on the back, and you strap it to the device, and when your phone rings, it vibrates, and then it sets off this device, which flashes. There's a little strobe light on it, and then it shakes your bed. And so it's kind of handy. And the Duet there is an amplified listener, and can be used instead of hearing aids in some cases, or in addition too, depending on if your hearing aids have a neck loop, a T-coil built into them, so that it can just interface right with this device, and it basically just amplifies sound. We have a lot of seniors who don't, and people in general who don't like hearing aids, and they can use this device, or there's some situations that hearing aids don't work well for people in big noisy groups, and this one kind of focuses in the sound of the someone talking, and you can focus in on one speaker because it has a microphone that you can turn in the direction of the person who's speaking. So those are also nice for kids who don't necessarily have hearing problems but have attention problems, and this can focus the adult's voice for them. The Red Cat Pro is a classroom listening type system, and the teacher wears an infrared speaking system, and then this big giant square thing here, actually it's not that big, it's probably about 2.5 feet wide, sits in the back of the room, and it's just a really a nice speaker system that just amplifies the teacher's voice. We talked about some phones already, and you can see the phone on the left there with the pictures on it is a nice phone for seniors, or it could be for a child or adolescent with some cognitive disabilities. And there's also a cover that actually covers those numbers, so if they're confused by the numbers or you don't want them necessarily dialing, there's actually a little cover that fits right over those numbers, so maybe the companion or care provider can still dial the telephone, but by lifting that cover up. But the person with the cognitive or memory disability just sees those four people that they know, and they can dial the phone. Especially if their care provider has a medical emergency, and then they're alone all of a sudden, this could be helpful. We have cordless amplified telephones, and then this phone down here is the AmpliPower. Is actually comes with little devices that you can wear on your wrist that act somewhat like a lifeline. You can actually program up to 6 phone numbers in this particular phone, and you wear that waterproof bracelet on your wrist, and when you need someone's help, you push the button, and it will actually scroll through 6 saved numbers until it reaches someone. And there's no, you know, once you get the phone, there's no monthly fee like a lifeline. But it also, if none of those 6 people are home, then you're kind of out of luck. So person really needs lifeline, you definitely need to get them lifeline, but that's just kind of an added benefit with that amplified telephone. And then here's some other telephones. This is the brand new captioning telephone that I told you about, the one on the left, the CapTel, and this is the hands-free telephone. that I talked about, and as far as what it's showing here is not quite hands-free. This little thing on the left is actually the remote that you hit to answer the telephone, or you can answer by voice. And then to dial the phone, you hit the switch, or you can, the switch doesn't have to be with your hand. It can be a breath switch, and then in that case, it would be hands-free. And when you would blow on that breath switch or click on that button, it would start scanning to the numbers that you'd program in. And when it got to the number that you needed, you'd either blow into the switch or hit the switch, and it would dial that number. So that one's been around a long time. I remember working with that one in the 90s, and it's still a good, sturdy phone. We have AT for computers. This is my friend Greg, who is using a, and he was actually in our newsletter, and he is actually using a Joust, a mouth joystick, and he's using that with an on-screen keyboard, and he's able to move that mouse all the way around the computer, and he sits and puffs for a left click and a right click, and he uses an on-screen keyboard just like the one you see there to spell anything he needs in Google, and in fact, the letter that he wrote in our newsletter, he types out using that whole method. And he also, by the way, has a sip and puff activated phone. He has that phone that we just saw, and he also has another device we're going to see that controls his lights, and at least I think we're going to see it. I can't remember if it's on the slides or not. Device that controls his lights and TV and DVD player. So, pretty sweet. Other things for computer access. So the roller mouse free is actually what I'm using right now to flip through my slides. I've been using that for probably 2 or 3 years. And what's nice about that one, I know you'd have to look it up to see the video of it, because it's hard to even, when you look at it firsthand, it's hard to see what it really does. But you're able to use either your left or right hand to control the mouse, and you can use the edge of your hand, and it's just a really nice way to do it when you have carpal tunnel or just want to prevent carpal tunnel. There's some key guards there. Getting a smaller computer or a smaller keyboard. A lot of people who only have access to one hand, or they used to have the use of one hand, will sometimes use a smaller keyboard so that they don't have to travel so far with that one hand. And a lot of times we use a child-sized keyboard with even adults because that helps shorten that distance. There's computer software to enlarge the screen and speak with on the screen. You can control your computer with your feet and anything. Basically, if you have a voluntary muscle anywhere in your body, you can control an augmentative communication device. You can control a computer, and you can also control your environment and drive your wheelchair and call a nurse. So there's a lot of things that one can do. Just going into some different types of daily living aids, and those are all very self-explanatory. The AT for controlling your environment, the Relax 2 is the one that my friend Greg uses, and that is, he basically has a sip and puff switch hooked to it, and it scrolls through the top choices are, I think, TV and phone and different things like that, and when he gets to the TV one, for example, then he goes and scrolls down to different choices like channel one, channel up, mute, things like that, and just a real nice, easy way for him to control his environment. Let's see what's next here. There are many different types of assistive technology for learning. The Read and Write Gold is terrific for, you can scan in your books and have them read to you. If you can get the book already digitized on a CD or on the internet, you don't have to scan it, and the software will read it out loud to you. It will also read what you type, and it also provides word prediction, so the child has marginal spelling. It can, depending on the type of marginal spelling that they have, it could possibly help them write even better. The smart pen here is the coolest. I wish I would have had this in college, and it is definitely, they sell it at Target and Best Buy, and it's meant for people with abilities and people who need who don't necessarily need it. Just a nice convenience. What it does is it records your message, your notes with whatever the teacher is or the person who's speaking, and records their voice in that pen, and then you can go back and touch whatever you were writing, and you can hear exactly what was being said when you wrote those words, so you can fill in what you dozed off on. You can fill in with what your maybe sometimes you have a student who gets distracted, you know, things like that, and this just helps them fill those blanks in. And also, even if a child can't actually write the words, having them make a shape or just some kind of dot or mark on the paper every so often, every 5 minutes, gives them a stopping point so that they don't have to listen, you know, to this entire recording to find out what the teacher said. And otherwise it'd be just like listening. You might as well get a regular recorder. This will help you put different timestamps on the recording that way. But I can certainly explain. It's hard to explain some of this stuff without seeing it and without me seeing you. But definitely something to be worth a demonstration of if you haven't seen it already. There's different devices for safety. My favorite one is the electric plug lock that you put on your different appliances, and you lock it on the actual end of the plug. So an adult with dementia, or a child with a disability, or anybody you don't want to plug in that device can't plug it in. And then, you know, you keep the keys. And they can certainly break it off, but then they would also break the device, too. So they wouldn't be able to plug it in anyways. And then there's tons of different devices for recreation for people with disabilities. And I just put one example on there, and that was the adapted Wii remote. And we actually have that for people to rent out if they would like. And I just kind of want to stop there and ask if there's any questions.
Wow. That was a lot. That was great, Jeannie.
Yeah, and I wish it's hard for me to just tell a little bit about devices. I could talk all night about them, but I just think it's we need, you know, a different venue and really go into these in depth, but I don't think all of you probably need every device in depth, you know. So what kind of questions do you have?
Well, the one that I have on that confounding door lock,
mm-hmm.
would that also be good, like, for kids that have some metabolic disorders and shouldn't be, I think it's Williams syndrome.
Prader-Willi syndrome, yeah.
Willie, right, sorry. Would that work on a refrigerator?
I don't know. Well, you have to screw it into a door, a wood. Well, and I've only put it on a wood door before. I guess I don't know what happens to a fridge if you would actually screw into it. I'm not very mechanically inclined. You ask anybody here, I can fix their computer, but I can't put anything back in a box. So, let alone put something on a refrigerator. I don't know, Deneen. It's I'm trying to remember how. It's and what it does is, looking at it, it's hard to tell. But you actually have to pull it out and then twist it, and then open the door.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And that's how that works. And I think it could be helpful. But I could see somebody in a panic if they actually had it on their door, too. If there was a fire, I'd be a little afraid of that, too. So I think there's some of these safety things is, like, they're really good, but then sometimes they can keep the person, the adult, out of it, too. You ever been locked out of your cupboard because you put a childproof lock on it?
Right.
I just don't know the answer to the fridge one.
Okay.
But it's certainly something I can find out for you.
Okay. I love that Alert Master. I'm thinking I might just buy it.
Yeah. Well, that new style, too. The old style was the buttons on it were so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of times in aging, vision loss and hearing go hand in hand. And the little lights, they'd have to memorize which light was, you know, how far in was the light for the door. So that when their bed shook, they could know, well, was somebody at my door? Is the phone ringing? Is the, you know, my alarm going off? I don't know which. So they had, because they couldn't see the picture. So I like this new model because they've definitely enlarged the pictures. And there is a wireless little thing that you can put on your hip too, so that will vibrate when it actually interfaces with this. So this is the device that you see here is actually the one that's hooked to your phone. And then you can wear so that you don't have to be, you know, if you're not on your bed or near that light, you're not going to know that there's somebody at your door. So this actually interfaces with it, and you can wear it like you would wear your cell phone on your belt. And then when it vibrates, you look down to see which light has lit up, and then you know whether it's your door or your phone or alarm or whatever. So it's really nice.
Neat. Thanks. Did anybody else have any questions at all? Before we wrap up, Vicki, anything? No? All right. Well, Jeannie, we're going to put this on the website as soon as – usually they'll send me the recording after we hang up.
Okay.
So I'm hoping tomorrow I'm going to be in Fargo, but shortly thereafter I'll have it on the website, and then I'll have some numbers for you on how many we're on tonight, and then following that, we'll keep you posted on how many are clicking on it on the website, too. So thank you so much. It was so awesome. I'm appreciative.
Thank you for having me, and please take advantage and give. It doesn't have to be me. There's two coordinators in Bismarck, Peggy and Scott, and Mike and myself here in Fargo, and Connie and Jennifer are also helpful and as far as answering some questions and if you didn't feel comfortable tonight, and just give me a call and we can discuss your kid and see if there's something we can do to help.
Sounds awesome, Jeannie. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good day. Night.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.